Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 6, Purusha Sukta confirmed, text number 39. Sa esha adiyak purusha.
Sa esha adiyak purusha.
Kalpe kalpe shijat yaja.
Kalpe kalpe shijat yaja.
Atmatman yatmanatmanam. Sa samyachiti paticha. Sa he. Esha the very. Adya the original personality of Godhead. Purusha the Mahavishnu incarnation. A plenary portion of Govinda. Lord Krishna, kalpe kalpe, and each and every millennium, Shijati creates, Aja, the unborn, Atma, self, Atmani, upon the self, Atmana, by his own self. Atmanam, own self. Sa, he, samyachati, absorbs. Pati, maintains. Cha, also. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Original Personality of Godhead, Lord Shri Krishna, expanding his plenary portion as Mahavishnu, the first incarnation, creates this manifested cosmos. But he is unborn. This creation, however, takes place in him, and the material substance and manifestations are all himself. He maintains them for some time and absorbs them in him into himself again. Please repeat. The Supreme Original Personality of Godhead, Lord Shri Krishna, expanding his plenary portion as Mahavishnu, the first incarnation, creates this manifested cosmos. But he is unborn. The creation, however, takes place in him. And the material substance and manifestations are all himself. He maintains them for some time and absorbs them into himself again. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The creation is non-different from the Lord, and still he is not in the creation. This is explained in the Bhagavad Gita 9:4 as follows. Maya tatamidam sarvam jagadavyakta murtina matstani sarabhutani nachaham teshvavashtitaha. The impersonal conception of the Absolute Truth is also a form of the Lord called avyakta murti. Murti means form, but because the impersonal feature is inexplicable to our limited senses, he is the avyakta murti form. And in that inexplicable form of the Lord, the whole creation is resting. Or in other words, the whole creation is Lord himself. And the creation is also non-different from him. But simultaneously, he has the original personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, is aloof from the created manifestation. The impersonalist gives stress to the impersonal form or the feature of the Lord, and does not believe in the original personality of the Lord. But the Vaishnavas accept the original form of the Lord, of whom the impersonal form is merely one of the features. The impersonal and personal conceptions of the Lord are existing simultaneously. And this fact is clearly described both in the Bhagavad Gita and in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and also in other Vedic scriptures. Inconceivable to human intelligence, The idea must simply be accepted on the authority of the scriptures, and it can only be practically realized by the progress of devotional service unto the Lord, and never by mental speculation or inductive logic. The impersonalists depend more or less on inductive logic, and therefore they always remain in darkness about the original personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna. Their conception of Krishna is not clear, although everything is clearly mentioned in all the Vedic scriptures. Poor fund of knowledge cannot comprehend the existence of an original personal form of the Lord, and when he is expanded in everything, the imperfectness is due more or less to the material conception that a substance distributed widely in parts can no longer exist in the original form. The original personality of Godhead, Adaya, Govinda, expands himself as the Mahavishnu incarnation and rests in the causal ocean, which he himself creates. The Brahma Samhita 5.47 confirms this as follows. Yat karanarnanavijale bhajati smayoga nidramananta jagaranda saromakupa adara shaktim avalambya param swamurtim Govinda Madi Purushang Tamahang Bhajami. Lord Brahmaji says in his Brahma Samhita, I worship the primeval Lord Govinda, who lies down in the causal ocean in his plenary portion as Mahavishnu, with all the universes generating from the pores of hair on his transcendental body, and who accepts the mystic slumber of eternity. So this Mahavishnu is the first incarnation in the creation. And from him all the universes are generated and all material manifestations are produced one after another. The causal ocean is created by the Lord as a Mahatattva, as a cloud in the spiritual sky, and is only a part of his different manifestations. The spiritual sky is an expansion of his personal rays, and he is the Mahatattva cloud also. He lies down and generates the universes by his breathing, and again by entering into each universe as Garbhadakshay Vishnu. He creates Brahma, Shiva, and many other demigods for maintenance of the universe, and again absorbs the whole thing into his person, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Sarvabhutani kanteya prakatim yanti mamikam kapashaye punashantani kapadau Vishvijamyaham. O son of Kunti, when the kalpa or the duration of life of Brahma is ended, then all the creative manifestations enter into my prakriti or energy. And again, when I desire, the same creation takes place by my personal energy. The conclusion is that these are all but displays of the Lord's inconceivable personal energies, of which no one can have any full information. This point we have already discussed. Translation. The Supreme Original Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna. Is there any way of keeping this in the same place? The Supreme Original Personality, well, we did that already. Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, expanding his plenary portion as Mahavishnu, the first incarnation, creates this manifested cosmos. But he is unborn. The creation, however, takes place in him, and the same substance and manifestations are all himself. He maintains them for some time and absorbs them into himself again. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutaya Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shnuvadi Paska Dhyade Sitarne. Again, the idea that God is everything, and yet God is different from everything. So people would like to think that they're everything. So this is not very helpful, this philosophy, for that philosophy. That ultimately everything is impersonal, everything came out of nothing, and that the only persons are ourselves, and out of all the people in the world, I'm the most important. Therefore, in the absence of any competitor, I am God. I may not have created all the cosmic manifestation, but who really cares, because it just came about or just always exists, or whatever our speculation is. It's not very important. What's important is that I'm important. So here we have many things that are discouraging for those who have a big false ego, such as Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva, after writing all the Vedic literature, or compiling it at least, and demonstrating mystic power, the self-realization, the form of Brahman realization, perfectly delineating how this material energy is working, how to control the material nature, how to live relatively happily within the material nature, how to go beyond the material nature, he was morose. So someone may come along and say, well, just think positive. Be enthusiastic, because you're God. You're not supposed to be morose. But Narada Muni came along and said, the reason why you're morose is because you missed the whole point. You've missed Krishna, and therefore you've missed the very reason for everything else. And if you miss Krishna, you've missed everything else. You may imagine that you've delineated very expertly on everything, but because you missed Krishna, you missed everything. In other words, whatever you did, Ishrama Eva Hi Kevalam, was just, without Krishna, it's just a waste of time. Therefore, he decided to test it. He just didn't hear from Narada Muni and thought, all right, I'm no good, I'm bad. Maybe Krishna is everything. But he wanted to realize Krishna, so he had the power, because he was beyond Brahman, he was beyond material energy, to actually think about Krishna. And thinking about Krishna is just like Smartavyam Sadatam Vishnur Vismartak Jatuna Kinchit Sarva Vidhi Nisedya Syora Etiyara Eva Kinkara. That all the rules and regulations of the Vedas are actually meant so we can always remember Krishna and never forget him. That all the rules and regulations should be taken as either nisheda or vidhi, as the purpose of the Vedas, the positive things we should do in this world, or a nisheda, what we're supposed to avoid. So we're supposed to always remember Krishna and never forget him. As a result of bhakti, bhakti yogena manasi, samyak pranihitam male, apaisha purusham puranam, maya yatat apaishrayam. So Srila Vyasadeva was ever able to sit down and think consistently about Krishna. We can do that for maybe a few minutes, maybe. And then we'll get distracted and we'll complain, oh, I have so many things to do. Why am I thinking about Krishna? What's the value of thinking about Krishna? Well, how that will help me. So, but Srila Vyasadeva was convinced by Narada Muni, that's what he was supposed to do, is think about Krishna. In Satyayuga, you don't have to convince people to think about Krishna, because when they think about Krishna, they become blissful. They can actually, they're not only on the platform of thinking about Krishna, they're on the platform of feeling Krishna. Because they have the mood of bhakti, the mood of devotion. When we try to think about Krishna, we think about Krishna from our point of view. So there's not much feeling. When a man tries to think about his wife, it's not difficult, because his feeling. Even he tries to think about his dog, because there's an interaction between himself and the dog based upon some feeling. As the dog comes up to him every day and bites him and growls at him, he may think about the dog or putting the dog away somewhere. But if the dog's coming and it's bowing and it's licking him and wagging its tail, then he thinks, oh, this is a nice dog, good dog. And therefore, there's no difficulty in thinking about the dog. But we think about Krishna, we think of, well, whoever Krishna may be, or he's the big boss, whatever we may think. But we find it difficult because we have no feeling to Krishna. There's no exchange of feeling, or very little exchange of feeling, and therefore it just remains on the thinking platform. So if we sit and try to chant our japa, or we sit and try to think about Krishna, we get bored. We want to go into something we have feeling for, that we have some experience of, you know, reciprocation emotionally, that excites our emotions or our senses or something, rather than this Hare Krishna. Schnick, schnick, ram, ram, day, 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 day. Hey, kitty, kitty, hey, kitty, kitty. So why is that? Because we're in this idea of, for instance, in Satya Yuga, it is said, Krite tadayato vishnum tretayam yajikto mukai. In Satya Yuga, people had, they weren't covered over with this idea that we have some mission in life to become something special, to make their body something special. Because there was no big positions in Satya Yuga comparatively. If you were a sage, you had nothing. That was the ultimate respect. Now if you're a sage, you have nothing, people will just step on you to do you a favor. What is this useless sage doing here, taking up air and space? He'd be better off, you know, voluntarily getting rid of himself so that space can be taken up by some factory or something. So people have no consciousness that there's such a thing as consciousness. They only respect things that are external. Of course, in their daily life, because their real idea is become God, they only respect the emotions where they feel themselves God and other people assist them in that feeling. And if someone comes along and doesn't assist them in that feeling of becoming God, then they take them as their enemy that God has to conquer, the Asuras. So in this age, everyone is thinking that there is one God themselves, and there's a lot of Asuras. And by some means or another, they're going to try to cut down the Asuras or hide from the Asuras, whatever, lock the door from the Asuras. But there's a very limited realm of emotion when you think that this body is God and those who are assisting you and helping you think like that, they're your devotees. So there is a lot of gods, very few devotees. And a lot of fighting, trying to conquer over so many Asuras. Because people they haven't heard about the actual God. And even if they heard about the actual God, they don't feel for the actual God. They feel against the actual God. Vayam dvitiya binevesha tasya ishadavatasya viparyo smriti. People are fearful, and their main fear, besides dying, they're afraid that maybe they're not God. They're afraid there's some competitive God that they can't conquer. But they already know there is a God that they can't conquer. It's called time. But they're trying in every way possible either to forget about time, or they're hoping some scientists will discover how to defeat time. But time, in the absence of understanding of God himself, Krishna, his manifestation of time, is defeating everyone. So everyone's afraid of time. Instead of loving God, they're fearing God. Because ultimately, their relation with God presently is that they don't like God. They don't even like the idea of God. They don't like that there's someone, you can't by election defeat him. Although he's never won any office, still he's controlling everything. You can't get enough money to buy him out. He get enough money so that you get more money than Kubera and you can buy God out. You buy out Brahma Loka. Brahma has to go somewhere else. You buy the lotus flower he was born on. And then you hire out Garbhadakshay Vishnu to maintain you. So people are imagining like that, that somehow they don't have much imagination. They're limited to a very small struggle here in the material universe to become the Supreme in a very limited way. So this idea that there is a Supreme, they don't like it all. So they have no feeling. Whoever Krishna may be, whatever he's doing, it's all right. But I don't want anything to really do with him. And if I want to have something to do with him, it's more or less to help me in my project to become God. He should assist me as one of my devotees. He says he's Bhakta Vatsal. He's the devotee of his devotees. So let's see. Therefore, this mentality is carried over to Treta Yuga. In Satya Yuga, people weren't so much interested in their God project because there was not much to do. And there was not much propaganda. Everyone, the social pressure was to become a servant of God, to surrender. But people got lazy, just like they usually do, and they started to eat a little bit more. Because the food was plentiful. And so I thought, well, that tastes good. You know, no big deal. Just give me a couple more samosas. And then they became attached to sense gratification a little bit. So therefore, they lost some of their feeling towards Krishna. Because that sense gratification, instead of feeling to please Krishna, the feeling comes to please the senses. And Krishna goes a little bit away. So therefore, they had to perform sacrifice. They have to throw a few of the samosas into the fire as to let Krishna eat too. Krishna doesn't have to eat the samosa, but they have to throw it into the fire or at least offer it to Krishna, so that some of their attachment will disappear. But then things deteriorate, as they usually do, and in Dwarpa Yuga, not only they became attached, they had to perform sacrifice to avoid too much attachment towards eating, but then they became further lazy. They wouldn't even, meditate on regular hours. Everything became irregular. They thought, well, little sacrifice once in a while, the food comes. If I have any worry, I think about Krishna. And therefore, deity worship was introduced. So some regulation, people's lives can be there so that they could understand the necessity of offering sacrifice, not just, to get enough to eat, but actually to purify their consciousness. And when their consciousness became purified, then those who were able, they could actually think about Krishna and become blissful. But in Kali Yuga, people have no intelligence. All they want to do is get something to eat and sleep, and not to be bothered with so much philosophy. So this is more or less Kali Yuga. If you can have philosophy how to eat and sleep, so much the better. And if I don't need philosophy to eat and sleep, that's even better. If you can arrange it so I don't have to work, I just, in the morning I open my mouth and food falls in. Some machine chews it for me. And I go back to sleep until the next feeding time. That's perfection of life. So in Kali Yuga, people have become manda samanda matayo, manda bhaga upadrutaha. Lazy, unlucky, misguided, and always disturbed. And on top of that, prayena apasha jana. On top of that, we have very short lives. One moment in Brahma's life, 1 second in Lord Brahma's life. How many years of that in our life is that? 1 second of Brahma's life. How many years of our life? It's almost 100,000 years of our life. It's 1 second of Brahma's life. So, in 1 second of Brahma's life, we may go through 1,000 births. And we're thinking we're going to be here for a long, long time. We have so many plans to make, so many things to conquer. My name should be on some plaque, and then I'll live forever here. But we're here for such an insignificant amount of time. The demigods can't understand how people can take their lives seriously in Kali Yuga. Even we could live for 100,000 years, it's only 1 second of Brahma's life. And that's Satya Yuga. That's nothing. 1 second in our life, we know is meaningless. And for Brahma, he feels the same thing. It's just a second. He feels his second, just like we feel our second. It just goes, because we're suffering so much, we think a second is nothing. But we think a year is a long time, because we're suffering. Suffering slows time down. But because Brahma is enjoying, his second is nothing. But because we're suffering, we think 100,000 years is inconceivable. And even Brahma is suffering. Therefore, his life is considered to be a flash of like in flash in cosmic time. 311 trillion, 40 million billion years is nothing in cosmic time. It's just a flash. Therefore, we're all mixed up. But we think we know everything. So in Kali Yuga, people are lazy, misguided, unlucky. And they're always disturbed, and they think they know everything. They think they're going to live forever in this body and conquer the material energy by their scientific investigation and by their physical exercise and whatever they're doing. Therefore, in Kali Yuga, the only hope is to chant Hare Krishna, but not just chant Hare Krishna, because anyone can chant Hare Krishna. That, in the other ages, people were chanting Hare Krishna just to get something to eat, Jagavai Vishnu, because they couldn't perform sacrifices to the demigods. They couldn't meditate. They couldn't do deity. They couldn't do anything. Therefore, the only thing left in Kali Yuga and every Kali Yuga is chant Hare Krishna so that some clouds would come and people would get something to eat. So sometimes we may be thinking like that. Why? Because we haven't developed any feeling. They call that ruchi. So what is that feeling? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes, and what does he exhibit? He exhibits great scholarship, but ultimately it's a scholarship just to accept what Krishna has said in Bhagavad Gita and other Vedic literature. But he shows us that the spiritual world is out of feeling. But what is that feeling? The feeling is try to become an actual brahmana than a kripana. Krishna says, think of me, become my devotee, worship me, offer your homage unto me, and the result you'll come to me without fail. So we think, well, that's a good idea. I'll do all those things and goodbye. But then he says, give up everything and surrender to me. And people will think, oh, this is too much. It's all right, I'll think about you, I'll become your devotee, whatever, but give up everything? So that's pure devotional service, Uttama Adhikari. And then he says, don't associate with all these people, idam tapaskaya nabhaktaya kadachina echashushu shave vacham echam mam vyasuyati. Those who are not austere, those who are not devoted, those who are envious, don't try to preach this message to them, because you'll just waste your time, because they're not interested. Their plans, just like those who are foolish, those who are deceitful, those who are atheistic, and those who are sinful, they'll never or hardly ever take to Krishna consciousness. They have no interest. They're determined to stay in the material world and conquer the material energy, no matter what you tell them. But still, Krishna says, Ya idam paramam guyam mad bhakteshva vadashati bhakti mayi param kritvam mame vaishatya samshaya. For those who preach this message to the devotees, devotional service is guaranteed. Because Krishna has feeling, he's actually unhappy. He's the only thing to make Krishna happy in this world. You can't bribe him. Give him a nice birthday cake on Janmashtami, then he feels good. No, what Krishna wants everyone to do is to become Krishna conscious. And therefore, to become Krishna's instrument means to tell people about Krishna, everyone about Krishna, whoever we meet, Yari Deka, Tarikaha, Krishna Upadesh. There is no place in this world which is outside Krishna's jurisdiction. It's not that, oh, now I'm in my house, the doors are locked, Krishna's gone away, now I have my wife and children, let me have some fun. No, it's your wife, your children, everyone belongs to Krishna. Your house belongs to Krishna. Everyone belongs to Krishna. So whoever we meet, if somehow or another we can understand that and understand Krishna's distress at us seeing the living entity suffering, then we can understand what the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is. Then we can have some feeling. We can develop some feeling. We can't develop any real feeling if we only love ourselves. That's our feeling. It'll be a very limited feeling. We may even try to expand it to the devotees, who we think are devotees. But it's going to be very narrow. You know, those people think like me, they're devotees. Everyone else is maybe aspiring to become a devotee. So that will not, we won't have very much, we can't develop our feelings very much. It'll be always within some limited conceptions that we have. Only when we actually follow the advice of Srila Rupa Goswami and his nectar of instruction, and we actually respect everyone who's chanting Hare Krishna within our mind, and we try to cooperate with the devotees. For what reason? To tell everyone about Krishna, whoever we meet. And only when we actually take instructions, not according to some official ecclesiastical position, but we take the instructions coming from Krishna and we get the intelligence how to see what is the best examples of undeviated, unalloyed service to Krishna, and we can perceive that and follow devotees' instructions how we can advance further on that path. Then we can actually make some progress towards feeling. But if we think, oh, Krishna is there to end my distress, and when he ends my distress to a certain degree, then we think, oh, thank you very much, Krishna. I'll come back when I need you again. Don't go away, please. Or I need some comfort, so I come to Krishna, and he's the one who's able to give me the intelligence how to become a nice vegetarian and cook nice prasadam, stay healthy through Ayurveda and yoga, and enjoy this life and the next lives too. And of course, hopefully I'll get a nice vacation in Indraloka and I'll meet my soulmate there. Or, yes, I've gone beyond all that. I studied regularly. I've become practically a Brahmin. And now I've learned how to conquer the material nature for Krishna and myself. And I tell others, too. Or I'm tired of people don't realize I'm God, so I'm leaving here. I'm going where I can become God. And no one will bother me. No, the idea is that we have to learn to love Krishna. In other words, give up our looking at Krishna, looking at everyone, anyone and everyone. What do you got for me? If you don't have anything for me, then what is your value in existing? You have no value for me. Therefore, upeksha. I disregard anyone who doesn't worship me. Anyone who says they worship me, they're a prospective candidate to become my devotee. However, they may have a twisted philosophy, still they've understood the truth, me. So this apeksha, Well, first of all, love Krishna, love everyone who are performing service to Krishna. Appreciate at least. If we can't love Krishna, you know, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came into the temple and he fainted in ecstasy. The only way we're going to faint in ecstasy is if we trip over some, you know, cord or something. Look at that devotee. He's on the ground. He's unconscious in ecstasy. Probably better to call the ambulance because he just fell. No, we have to at least appreciate Krishna. Appreciate what he's doing for us, how he's created the material nature, why he's actually everyone's friend, how he's giving us what we need, carry what we have to appreciate Krishna. That's the beginning of love. Understanding Krishna things properly, and therefore learning a little tolerance. That comes to the state of liberation where we can appreciate Krishna. Second class devotee means liberated devotee. And one is liberated when he's not, he's tolerant of his material circumstances, and therefore can actually give some appreciation to others. And to learn that appreciation and to practice that appreciation for Krishna and others, we have to practice in the association of devotees. Try to upeksha for my mind, who sees things differently from the way Krishna sees things. Cooperation with the devotees to spread the Sankirtan movement to everyone. And to hear submissively, with the idea of actually giving up my anarthas and attachments, so I can actually come to the platform of real love, make progress to anartha nivritti, an actual liberation. And then for the innocent, those who know nothing about Krishna, then if I'm actually practicing in amongst the devotees to love Krishna, and to actually I'm developing my appreciation at least for the devotees, then I'll have something to tell the innocent about. Or even if I have nothing to tell the innocent about, at least if I appreciate that I should dutifully spread Krishna consciousness by going out, then Krishna will give me some appreciation and some realization for how he's everywhere. He's not only in the temple, he's in everyone's heart. Otherwise, how could people buy books, you know, in 30 seconds? Because Krishna is giving the devotee the power, the potency, the enthusiasm, as well as the intelligence how to distribute them. Why do people become enthusiastic and they dance even sometimes with the devotees, when the devotees are enthusiastic, chanting the same thing over and over again, Hare Krishna. Try to go out and chant Mickey Mouse in kirtan on the street. See how many people will dance along with you. See how long your kirtan will last. Because it's transcendental and Krishna is empowering the kirtan. And then people will become attracted. But this upeksha is also important. Detachment. Because the allurement away from Krishna consciousness, it's everywhere, and especially in our mind. We've cultivated since time immemorial, and we have a tendency to take shelter of the all-pervading false propaganda that there is no God, or we can become God, or we can enjoy. I mean, I give myself the official title of God, but still, I have so many possessions because they're mine, and I'm the ultimate decider what to do with those things, and I enjoy doing that. I enjoy making all these decisions. And ultimately, I'm doing it not only for my benefit, but for everyone else's benefit, so they can realize who the real God is. So we have to become aware of our own misconceptions, that we're thinking there's something other than Krishna. Gata sangasya muktasya jnanavastita cheta saha yasya charata karma samagram praviliyate. The work of a person is unattached to the modes of material nature and is fully situated in transcendental knowledge, merges entirely into transcendence. So there's nothing but Krishna, and when we become unattached to the modes of nature, unattached to the results of our work, and we work to spread the Sankirtan movement everywhere at all time, then the result is our consciousness will merge into transcendence. And everyone and everywhere we look will see an opportunity to serve the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Not I chant my rounds, which is nice. I worship the deity. I do the potent processes. And when I walk out the door, I'm someone else. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. I'm a saint in the temple, and Krishna only knows what I am outside. Hopefully he doesn't know either. No, we have to, so our consciousness has to expand so that Brahmarpanam Brahmahaivir Brahmagno Brahmahutam Brahmaiva Tena Gantavyam Brahma Karma Samadhina. That we're always thinking what to do to serve the Sankirtan movement. Even we're in our family, the minimum is we have to have a morning and evening program. Because otherwise we forget. Material nature helps us forget. And if we don't want to forget, we have to chant Hare Krishna with our family in the morning and the evening. Hear Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. And remember that my wife belongs to Krishna. She's Krishna's servant. My children are Krishna's servant. My pets are Krishna's servant. And I'm Krishna's servant. So I have to relate to them appropriately. But at the same time, I can't forget that I have to, my first business is to please Krishna and his representatives. And on that basis, I do all my activities. Then Krishna consciousness will actually expand our consciousness. We'll go beyond neophyte platform. We'll actually come to the second class platform of liberation. And then gradually we'll be able to understand how Krishna actually is everywhere. And everything is actually very nice. Sukham, as it says, kaivalya narakayate, nakara narakayate, tri dasha pura akasha pushpayate. And this idea of going to the heavenly planets and living there and enjoying is just like another dream. We're dreaming now and we'll have another dream, that's all. Maybe a little nicer dream, but it's not a very long dream. Then we're back to this nightmare. Dordantendriya kalasapa prokata dhamstrayate. And this idea of getting mystic power and influence in the material world so I can actually arrange everything the way I want it is just a dream. It's another anxiety that's not going to happen. But when we get rid of that, then we're not so much agitated anymore. The yogis are not so agitated. And Vishvapurana Sukhayate. And such a devotee, he sees Krishna everywhere, an opportunity to serve Krishna, and everyone is actually Krishna's part and parcel. Everything is under Krishna's control, so therefore there's nothing to worry about. And Vidhi Mahendri Deshikitayate. And that he sees everyone as the object of his service, whether Brahma, or Indra, or even the most insignificant ant, he's the servant of everyone, trying to help them become Krishna conscious. That way he's serving his dearmost friend Krishna, his mission, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that yakataksha karuna vaibhavatam tam guram evastaha. Then one will actually get the merciful sidelong glance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There's no other way of doing it. It's not that Krishna said one thing, he changed his mind 500 years ago, he sent his representative who was all confused, didn't know what to do. It's the same thing. And that's called the simple succession. The mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the mission in this age. And those who want to go back to the spiritual world, they have to accept that mission and apply it within their lives to the best of their ability. Then didami buddhiya yogam dam. Then Krishna will give intelligence. And then one can see bhakti yogena manasi samyak pranihite male apaisha purusham purnam maya chattara pashyam. Then one can actually see how Krishna is present along with his energies. And they're acting fully under his control. But yatma samito jiva atmakam trigunatmakam paropi manyate narada tatpido chapi padyate tatkritam chapi padyate. But he also, there's the living entities, and they're fully under Maya's influence. They don't see how everything is Krishna's energy. Everything is meant for Krishna's service. Everything is meant for the Sankirtan movement. And therefore, they're suffering the threefold miseries. And the only remedy is to understand these things. There's no other remedy. Therefore, anartha pasamam sakshat bhakti yoga hokshade lokasya janato vidvam chakre satvita samhita. Therefore, Srila Vyasadeva compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam to give us this message. So we can't think that all these other so-called remedial measures are going to save ourselves or save anyone else. Only by helping, when we become conscious of spreading the Sankirtan movement, become conscious of practicing the activities of Krishna consciousness, that will help us and it'll help others. Otherwise, we're, to some extent or to a large extent, we'll be wasting our time. And we won't be able to see how Krishna is everywhere and every place is an opportunity to serve Krishna. Or by seeing every opportunity to every place, every circumstance is an opportunity to serve Krishna, then our dearmost friend Krishna will be everywhere with us. So, I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions?
This question is, last line it was written that he maintains them for the same time and absorbs them into himself. Why there is a reason to? So why there is a reason for creation again to absorb?
Because people get tired. You need a little rest. So just like the Prabhupada said, the new crows and the old crows. Material world is full of garbage, but the new crows have become very enthusiastic to eat it. But the old crows, they're tired. They already realize it's the same old stuff again. So they need a little rest. You go to rest, you go to sleep, you forget. Yeah, but this time you got to forget for, you know, 4,320,000,000 years, you forget. You go to sleep. And then you wake up and you become a new crow again. Enthusiastic to try to enjoy the material nature again. This time, this creation is going to be different. We got a special Brahma. We got the Brahma with 10 million heads, so he knows what's going on. The 4-1 was a failure. Yes. That's the gift of the illusory energy. If you want to be in the illusory energy, everyone's proud of the material energy to some degree or another. So because we want to be something special, therefore Maya gives us this body and the illusion that we are the body. So that's something special. No one else has a body like mine. No one else has the same intelligence I have. Whatever, so I'm special. So that's enough to be proud of. And we love our speciality. We offer our love and respect and everything to what we think is ourselves. So just like in the spiritual world, people are proud of Krishna, and here we're proud of our illusory identification with this body. Anything else? Yes. Yes, he was a great devotee of Krishna. And he told us about many things about Krishna. And when we become elevated in Krishna consciousness, we might be able to appreciate everything he told us. But he also, I think he gave us our prayers of the incarnations. Yes, so this is, Srimad Bhagavatam is all about the incarnations who've come here to lift us out of the material energy up to the spiritual energy. So we have to understand the mission of Krishna to gradually get us out of the illusory energy. And then one day when we're out of the illusory energy, then we'll be able to understand what the activities of the spiritual energy are. But in order to understand the activities of the spiritual energy, then we we participate in the Rasa dance by spreading the Sankirtan movement. So the Rasa dance in this age is Harinam, Sankirtan, and preaching. That's the Rasa dance. Anything else? All right, thank you very much. Grantarai Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaura Premanande.